scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Acts of the Apostles. That's the full title of the book, which in Christian vernacular we know as the Book of Acts. As the storyline of the church is carried forward on the narrative of what the apostles were doing to establish the early church, the title, the Acts of the Apostles, seems to fit. Some, however, have suggested a better name might be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The case is made that the agent of action in the early church was the Holy Spirit, and the actions of the apostles were a result of their being moved by the Spirit. Either way, the book is a written history of the early New Testament church. Maybe it could be called their annual report. It fits all the requirements. There are minutes of the organizational meeting in which a successor was elected to fulfill the position of Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed our Lord. While there are no pictures, there is a vivid description of the inaugural service of the church on Pentecost, including Simon Peter's sermon manuscript. Statistical records show that the church had 3,000 baptisms. That was just the beginning. It was the Spirit who filled and moved the apostles. It was the Spirit who gave the church increase. It was the Spirit who empowered the apostles to overcome each and every barrier that they went on to encounter. The same thing, by the way, may be said of our annual report. While the title, the reports, and the pictures might suggest that this is our story, it is in a much greater sense the story of the Spirit who has filled us and empowered us to do every bit of it. It's true that the Spirit moves as the wind. Nobody knows where it comes from or where it's going next, but we can tell where the Spirit has been. Today, as we look at our book of annual reports, we celebrate the presence of the Spirit and all that the Spirit has done to empower and move our congregation this year. There is something buried, though, in the book of Acts that speaks volumes about the apostles and the early church. Something that might be overlooked along the side of the events of Pentecost and the powerful miracles that fill the rest of the report. Something that defines who they were and how they encountered the transforming presence of the Spirit in their midst. It's that recurring phrase appearing frequently in their annual report. They were all together in one place, and the description of what they were doing when they were together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to community, and to prayer. Whether they knew it or not, they were on holy ground. Their holy ground has less to do with the place than it does the connection that afforded them a life giving rootedness in something larger than their own lives, something deep enough and enduring enough to keep them anchored and oriented in the storm. In the darkness following the crucifixion of Christ, the disciples found themselves in the midst of quite a storm. waves of grief washed away every hope they had placed in Jesus. Dark clouds of confusion fell over their minds, veiling the light of the words and power they had witnessed when Jesus stood among them. Fear flashed in their minds like lightning bolts as they imagined what the empire might do to them, since they had been known to be followers of the one called the King of the Jews. What could they do to weather the storm? Where could they go for safety? On their own, they were like fish in a barrel, easy prey for a bloodthirsty empire. Scripture finds them gathered together in an upper room behind locked doors. Knowing the disciples, it took a lot for them to even get there. It had been all Jesus could do to stifle their arguing about who was the greatest among them. Were they still arguing? Maybe about which of them was to blame for the suffering and death of their master. Who should have done more to talk him out of entering the hotbed of oppression that they all knew he was walking into when he headed to Jerusalem? Probably nobody wanted to take the blame. Surely nobody wanted the attention that would come with being recognized as a successor of the crucified rabbi. Not as long as Rome still had more crosses at the ready. They had to set aside their differences. They needed to stand together. They needed community. They needed a place of sanctuary. They needed something to anchor them in this storm. What they needed was holy ground. And sure enough, as the storm raged around them, the place where they gathered with one another and for one another became that holy ground, the place where they encountered the presence of the living Christ, who stood there with them and spoke to them, and they listened. What would the empire do when word hit the street that Jesus, who had been crucified, had risen from the dead and had appeared to his followers? What measures might they take to twist and control the narrative of eyewitnesses? Perhaps the quickest way to co-opt the narrative would be to get rid of the witnesses. As the storm grew darker and the waves grew stronger, the disciples knew what to do. As the risen Lord ascended into the clouds, he had directed them to go back to Jerusalem, into the eye of the storm, to wait it out, to stand together. So they did. They entered the city and went into the upstairs room where they had been staying and were united in a devotion to prayer. There they found a place of sanctuary. Standing together, they found community that was their anchor through the storm. There, unleashing the subversive forces of prayer, it happened again. Standing together on holy ground, they listened as God spoke with a voice like the howling of a fierce wind. It was an encounter with the holy that empowered and transformed them. From there, they would go forth, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to live victoriously in a world that would forever continue to attempt to disfigure and defeat justice, peace, and human dignity. The early believers continued to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to their prayers, to community, to standing together on holy ground, demonstrating God's goodness to everyone. What was the empire to do? They didn't know how to respond to the subversive power of an oppressed people standing together with one another in community. How could they desecrate this holy ground which the early believers found to be an anchor in whatever storm the empire could unleash next? Well, finally, it happened with the stoning death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. The church scattered. Emboldened by this show of power, a young man named Saul joined forces in establishing a pure adherence to the Hebrew law. He was authorized to search out and oppress anyone who was a follower of Christ wherever he could find them. Turns out that Saul was the one who was found on his way with a letter of authorization in hand. He stopped in his tracks by the appearance of the risen Lord. And just like that, Saul found himself standing on holy ground, the place where the Lord spoke, and he listened. An encounter that would empower and transform his whole life. At that very moment, a believer named Ananias was praying on his own place of holy ground. There he had an encounter in which the voice of the Lord spoke, and he listened. It was an encounter that empowered Ananias and transformed the unfolding of the spread of the gospel, as Saul would become Paul. Oh, the subversive power that is unleashed when believers stand together on holy ground and pray. Paul himself grew stronger and stronger, being anchored and rooted in holy ground as he stood together in community with the very believers he had once sought to destroy. Paul knew he had found his community when they rescued him from an assassin's attempt by his previous allies, aiding his escape by lowering him in a basket over the city wall. Nothing says community, nothing says holy ground, like a community coming together for those at risk in the storm. Our annual report tells the story of what happened when we came together, devoting ourselves to community and to prayer, in person and virtually. Our story is that as a congregation, we have learned that our well-being and our survival depend upon our standing together, growing together, supporting one another, sharing our resources, and making sacrifices for the good of the community. A story that has not yet been told is what the Spirit might do next as we continue to come together as community, praying for those in need of an anchor in the storms that continue to rage about them, supporting and protecting all of those who are vulnerable, offering life-giving rootedness to those who question whether or not they even have a community. By being and staying together, we find we are on holy ground, rooted in something larger than ourselves, something deep enough and enduring enough to be a much-needed anchor to our community through every storm, demonstrating to everyone the goodness of our God. Amen. And now, as the storms of every kind continue to rage, know this: in life, in death, in life beyond death, we are not alone. We stand together as community on holy ground. May God be with us. Be well.